First of all, today I was by the oil. I had an unplanned visit by the oil at the Rebbe's graveside. And I asked for a boche, for a blessing for all the people who will come, will be here tonight. May the Rebbe's blessing be fulfilled. You know, we came to celebrate the Rebbe's birthday. Sounds such a simple thing, to celebrate a birthday. What could be more simple? Uh-huh, it wasn't simple at all in 770. You see, the Rebbe was a very private person. As public as he was very protective of his privacy. And he didn't need any parties for him, nothing about him. When I grew up with a friend from Cheder, all the way when I was, since kindergarten, his name is Moti Laufer. When he was 17, he's 8 and a half older than me, he decided he wants to write a biography about the Rebbe. Nobody wrote a biography, I'm talking about over 4 years ago. He started, the biggest job was the first 40 years of the Rebbe. Before he was a Rebbe, before he came to America, the Rebbe was born in Ukraine. He grew up there by his father, who was the chief rabbi of the city, Dnipropetrovsk. From there he went when he was 22, he moved to St. Petersburg. At that time, Leningrad, and he met his future father-in-law, the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe. He was there for 5 years. When the previous Rebbe was forced out of Russia, he left with them. They moved to Latvia. Then the Rebbe himself went to Berlin to study in the University of Berlin in 1928. In 1929, he got married in Warsaw to the daughter of the previous Rebbe. They went back as a couple to Berlin. They were there until Hitler came to power in 1933. Then the Rebbe moved to Paris and he studied in university in Paris until 1941. In the middle of the war, he survived the war and he came to America. You can imagine that such a part of life is very hard to put together. It's like a whole puzzle with information. Then my friend started to collect information, interviewing people, go to libraries. Huge job. But there were a lot of questions that could not be answered. For example, it was not clear in Paris in which the university the Rebbe attended, was it Sorbonne or another university? And everybody's talking and discussing. At the time that the Rebbe is in 770, and it would take just 5 minutes to write a note. Rebbe, can you tell us in which college you attended? Simple. What could be more simple than that? But nobody was even dared to do it. Nobody dared to do such a thing. At best, if he would ask the question, the Rebbe would ignore it. At worst, the Rebbe would tell him, who asked you to write a biography on me? Forget about that. Go back to yeshiva. Your job is to learn, not to write biographies. And that would be the end of it. See, the Rebbe spoke not for over the 4 years, not for hundreds of hours, for thousands of hours. Thousands. My friend and others over the years went through to see, to find how many times he said anything about himself. A little story they wanted to put together. It's just about his school, about his experiences when he was young. They found from the thousands of hours, less than 40 places that the Rebbe mentions himself. And even there, in a half a sentence, the Rebbe never spoke about himself. You ask him a question about your life, absolutely, he's happy to answer you. Torah, for sure. Science, whatever you want. What about him? He's not the issue. Therefore, it was very hard to do anything with him, about him. First of all, are you going to know how, when the Rebbe's birthday is? He's not going to tell you. Before he was a Rebbe, he went from New York to Paris to bring his mother, who came out from Russia in 1947. That he was in Paris for a while until they organized the papers and so on. But one day, the Rebbe's mother, the Rebbe Tzanchane, she told a few guys, ask for my son to make a Fabrinken. It's his birthday tomorrow. It's your 11th of Nisan. That's how Hasidim knew. When is his birthday? In 1952, when the Rebbe turned 50, it was a year of being a Rebbe, he called 10 people to his room that nobody knew. It was like a secret. And he said a short Hasidic discourse in front of them. That was his celebration of his birthday. Then nothing was happening for 10 years. It was 1962. The Rebbe is turning 60. We have to do something. The young guys are starting to talk. We have to do something. We have to organize. Hasidim should do something. But nobody knows how the Rebbe will like it. And if the Rebbe doesn't like it, you're in big trouble. And now what do you do? At that time, it was right in the beginning when they established the Lubavitch Youth Organization. It's called Tzach, Tzeirei Agudat Chabad. The Lubavitch Youth Organization had a tradition that every once a month on a Saturday night, they used to make a Melave Malki, a little Fabrengen. And this, they used to talk about outreach and what needs to be done, and used to make resolutions. And after the Melave Malki, after the event, they used to write a report to the Rebbe. The secretary of the Lubavitch Youth Organization, and basically the only person who was hired for this job, was Rabbi Alevsky. And then a few friends came up with an idea. They will write in the report to the Rebbe that the Lubavitch Youth Organization decided, made a resolution to send out a letter to Hasidim all over the world that in honor of the Rebbe's 60th birthday, they will ask from Hasidim to give the Rebbe a gift. What the Rebbe needs a gift? Good deeds. One person should learn Torah in the number of 60 minutes. And another person will do 60 mitzvot, will speak to 60 Jews, 6 Jews, anything in 6. You'll give charity in the number of 60, $6, $60, whatever anybody can do. And they prepared the letter that they're going to send out to everybody. And they sent this together with the resolution to the Rebbe's office. And they'll test the water. They'll see. What the Rebbe answer will know where we're standing. The Rebbe sent out the report. I don't know, maybe gave answers on other issues there, but on this resolution and on the letter that they're going to send, he said no, he didn't say not a yes and not a no. That was already a green light. He didn't say no. Now we can move forward. The Rebbe knew very well if you don't say no to these guys, they're going right away, all the way. They sent out a letter to all Hasidim all over the world. Rabbi Alevsky sent out the letter. And it started to come back. Letters and checks. resolutions that the people of Hasidim, you know, at that time there were a lot of Hasidic Jews spread all over in Brazil, in Australia, in Russia, in France. Everywhere in the United States, in Israel, everywhere. And it came letters and letters. And they said in the letter, they should send your resolution and your money to the Lubavitch Youth Organization, and we will give it together as a present to the Rebbe on his birthday. But you know, not everybody gets the whole story and reads exactly every detail. Many people started by mistake, sent it to the Rebbe's office. The Rebbe gets a letter up. That's to Tzach, and the Rebbe saw it's a letter for them. The Rebbe sent it out. One letter, the second letter. Came to the third letter that the Rebbe got by mistake with the money. The Rebbe wrote on it, Keren Hashishim, the fund for the 60th birthday, basically. That was already a step. Oh, he gave it a name. The fund of the 60th, it means the 60th birthday is important, is now something real. And more letters came. On his birthday, the Rebbe used to go every year to his father-in-law's gravesite to pray. When he came back on the 11th of Nisan, he used to come back in the evening around 5, 6, 7 o'clock. Rabbi Alevsky brought to the Rebbe's secretary, Rabbi Chodakov, 2 big bags. One bag was full of letters and resolution and good deeds that people did for the Rebbe, and on the other side, in the other bag, was money and checks. $22,000 were collected from Hasidim from all over the world. In 1962, it was a lot of money. He brought it into Rabbi Khodakov, and he left. 5 minutes later, Rabbi Khodakov comes out from the Rebbe's office, and he says, there's going to be a special farbringen in honor of the birthday. They felt that because of this, thank you, because of this commission, commotion, and because of Hasidim did so many good deeds, then it made it work. Because of this, the Rebbe was for bringing, and it was a beautiful long for bringing. That was the first time the Rebbe celebrated in public his birthday. A long for bringing. But there is one line on this for bringing. I don't think too many people paid attention. The Rebbe said by this for bringing that there is known that great rabbis used to celebrate their birthday every decade when it was number 60, 70. At this number, they would make a celebration. That was basically, in my opinion, a sentence that the Rebbe said, I'll meet you again at my 70th birthday. And that was what happened. Until the 70th birthday, in 1972, the Rebbe didn't make a farbringen. It was one small farbringen a year before, but as an official big gathering, it was on its 70th birthday. That was already a big farbringen. Thousands of Hasidim from all over the world came, dignitaries, politicians, and everything. The theme of this farbringen was a verse from the Bible. A man is born to toil. You see where it's going? When a reporter from the New York Times is coming to ask the Rebbe if he's planning to retire, the Rebbe is talking a whole farbringen that a man is born to toil. And then the Rebbe started to speak about later in the evening. He says, people are asking me, what's my plans? First of all, a person should never look at his passport. Look how you feel. And if you feel good, continue to do more good. Especially, the Rebbe says, that a person needs to fill up every day of his life to make sure he's coming with his days. You know, there's an expression in the Bible, Baba Yamim, you have to be able to bring your days. Bring your days means you can look back and say on every day, this was a day worthwhile to spend the right way. I'm glad what I did with this day. And then the Rebbe turns to the Hasidim and he says, and I want you to give me a present for my birthday. You should establish all over the world a new 71 institutions, Chabad institutions. And the Rebbe says, and if it will be 80 or 100, I will not be upset. Over the year, they will establish more than 70 institutions. Since 1972, when he turned 70, until he turned 83, every year was a farbringen. 1983, a big farbringen. It's already years and years we celebrate the Rebbe's birthday. When the Rebbe was 83, it was 1985. I don't want to confuse you. One of the sikhes, one of the talks, the Rebbe said, I need to make an explanation. Looks like there is a need for an explanation. Even I thought people understood it on their own, but looks like they don't. Because the Rebbe said, how could, you know, arrogance in Judaism, arrogance is looked very down on. How could a person make a birthday, a celebration of himself, and invite so many people, and it's all about them? What is it? I remember I was in Israel. It was the year before I came to 770. I heard the Rebbe talking about it, and I go, what's now? After so many years, suddenly an explanation why he makes a farbringen for his birthday. And the Rebbe goes on, he says, you know, but it's not about, they don't come to me, they come to what I represent. And the movement, the Chabad movement is over 200 years old, and the Hasidic movement before Chabad is already almost 300 years old. That it doesn't make a difference who is representing. They come for the movement, not for me. And the Rebbe said, there is a story about A rabbi, a very small, physically was very small and skinny, of a big city, important city. And you know, every rabbi has a few people who torture him, who drive him crazy. Then they came to him and told him, to tell him, Rabbi, it's not respectful, such a big city, such a small little rabbi. Then he used to answer them, I'm small, but the chair, the throne is a big throne. The city is an important city. It's not about me, it's about what I represent. The Rebbe said it about himself. It's not about me, it's what I represent. That's what it's all about. But it didn't sound too promising, this kind of talk. And the Rebbe continues and he says, it's about my father-in-law. He was the Rebbe. And he passed away. And we need somebody to organize everything. Then you need somebody who's in charge. The time, the ends, and the feet of the Rebbe. That's what he said. And you, more than this, you don't need. It's not about me. And then he moved on with other topics. This was the last farbringen the Rebbe made on his birthday. The next year, on his birthday, on the 11th of Nisan, what the Rebbe did, he started the dollars, the famous dollars that you see here, that the Rebbe started to give out dollars. It was 11th of Nisan, the Rebbe's birthday was on Sunday, and suddenly the Rebbe came out and he started to give dollars. I was there, and the people went and went and went and went, and the Rebbe stood for hours and hours and hours. And since then, he started every Sunday to give out dollars and to speak to people and give blessings. And it was a whole new way of doing business, if you want. My friend, since this last farbringen, the Rebbe said that it's just the end and the feet of his father-in-law, since then passed almost 4 years. It was 1985. Now 2024, my friend, everybody who is in this room is the Rebbe's hand and the feet. We are the Rebbe's hand and the feet, all of us. And we, as the Rebbe said, he cannot do it, now we have to do it. He wants us to do it, he's inspiring us. Well, Pesach is coming up. Every Jew knows somebody who doesn't come for the, is not going to a Seder. For sure you have family and friends, but you know one person that nobody wants to invite him, maybe because he's annoying, maybe because of other reason. This is the person the Rebbe wants you to invite. The last Jew, not the first Jew, not the most important Jew, the last Jew that nobody wants to. Let's be hand and feet of the Rebbe. This is our way to give the Rebbe a present for his birthday. Thank you.